Hi everybody. We've just celebrated Easter weekend, and I was so blessed this year to have extra time to just sit and reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross. I haven't been able to do that for a number of years. And so a couple of years ago, I learned this technique of making the Bible come so alive for me. And what I did was I started applying this technique. And what it means is that I take a moment while I'm reading whatever it is in the Bible, and I imagine myself being right there in the midst of the story. And so, as I applied this to the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, I found myself focusing on two aspects of the story of Jesus' crucifixion. And I want to share those with you today. The first was that of the disciples and what they must have endured in that time. And then, secondly, I want to look at what Jesus endured. For reference purposes, I've worked through each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and their respective accounts of the moments leading up to and including the crucifixion and death of Jesus. I wish I could read through those for you today, but I don't want to go over time. And so I'm going to ask you to read that yourself and just ask God to reveal the stuff that He needs to reveal to you. But let's move on and just look at what the disciples would have endured in this time. And so we know that when they were called to follow Jesus, we see that they left everything. They left their jobs behind, their friends and their family. And in all of the accounts in the Bible, we see that they left everything instantaneously. They just followed him straight away. And now I'm pretty sure that there would have needed to have been some sort of revelation there, because to know that that was in fact the Savior that they were following. But I want to say that it was only in the time that they spent with Jesus in his earthly ministry after that, for the 3 years where they started seeing him do the amazing things that he did, where I believe that they would have had confirmation that it was, in fact, the Messiah that they were following. And so imagine that became the entire world. They followed Jesus every single moment of the day. Remember, they didn't just meet up with him once a week like we do when we go to church. They literally spent every waking moment with him. And then there came a time where Jesus started talking to them about his pending death, and that he was going to be crucified. And we see from Peter's response that he didn't necessarily firstly understand what he was saying, but he also didn't want to believe it, because this had just become their entire existence. And then I want to, for a moment right now, I want you to imagine with me what they must have felt like when Jesus was in fact arrested and taken away. It says in Matthew 26, verse 56, it says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And if we read a little bit earlier on Jesus, when he was telling them that it was now time for him to go, he says in Matthew 26, verse 31, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Take a moment with me right now and imagine how confused and lost they must have felt. Everything that they had stood for and believed in was undone in an absolute instant. I would imagine as well that they would have thought that this was an impossibility, having seen what Jesus had done, and yet they were left totally distraught. One of my friends recently gave up her job and spent, I think it was 2 years, to look after her ailing mom. And I remember when her mom passed away that she struggled so much, because it had become her entire life. She felt so lost, and her whole world felt like it had fallen apart. And I think that the disciples would have felt the same. This got me thinking about the world that we live in today. And it made me realize that there are so many people today that are feeling the same sense of loss. They're so full of despair. There's so much disappointment and uncertainty in the world today. And I want to show us today, or I want to answer the question today, how can we endure that? The other aspect that I reflected on this weekend, and I mentioned it earlier, was that I wanted to look at what Jesus endured before his death. And for purposes of this lesson, I want to look at the parallels between what he dealt with then and some of the stuff that we deal with today. At this point, I think it's important that I note that I'm not making light of what Jesus went through, and by no means am I comparing it to what we go through. But I want to show you that there's a key and a secret to how he endured what he was going through. And if we're going through similar stuff today, that key should apply. And so I believe that we're going to learn such a key principle on how to endure just the way that Jesus applied. And so let's take a look. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is described in Matthew 26, verse 37, as being sorrowful and distressed. He tells his disciples in verse 38 that my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And it goes further to say that he was so distressed that he sweat blood. And we know that it was because he knew what had to be done, but that he wished that he didn't have to. I know that there are people that are listening today that are also distressed. They are also exceedingly sorrowful. And there's even some that are having to do things that they know they have to do, but that makes them so heartsore. I think of a drug addiction child who the parents are applying tough love to them. It's a hard thing to do. You don't want to do it, but you know for the purposes of saving your child, you sometimes need to do that. Or perhaps you've lost a loved one and you can't even begin to imagine living without them. You don't want to, and yet you have to. Then I want to look at when they arrested him in the garden. And obviously the betrayal by Judas was already so bad. Imagine he walked with him closely with all the disciples, and to have been betrayed by somebody that was so near and dear to him or close to him. In Mark 14, verse 48 to 49, in addition to that betrayal, it shows that Jesus says to them, why are you coming against me armed? He says, I'm paraphrasing, he says, the very same people that he sat with in the synagogue and taught with in the temple are the very same ones that are coming against him now. And so that must have been a very heartbreaking betrayal for him. In addition to that, in verse 50, we also read just earlier that the disciples, they all fled. They forsook and fled. And I know that he knew that that was coming, but it must have hurt him terribly. I know that there's people listening today that we are facing the similar situation where the very people who should love and protect us have left us when we need them the most. Perhaps it's the divorce, or perhaps it is the loss of a loved one. Then let's look in Mark 14, verse 56. It says, for many bore false witness against him. And this is something I believe that we have all faced. Just a side note, gossip is always a false witness, or generally a false witness. We often spread stories about people that are not substantiated. And when you're on the receiving end of that, it is really so painful. At this time of year, we are surrounded by reminders of what the bodily harm was that was done on Jesus. And so I'm not going to go through that in detail, but I'm just going to say that they caused grievous bodily harm to him. They beat him, they whipped him. And I know that today we battle with so much illness and sickness and disease in our bodies. Jesus was bound when he was led away. And so there's many of us today that are in bondage, in some form of bondage. It could either be fear, it could be sickness, it could be addiction. The second last one I want to look at is that they mocked Jesus. And what I find interesting is that they mocked him about the very thing that he actually was. They mocked him about being the king. And I think that we face that on a daily basis. I think that we face that through Satan all the time because he keeps on asking us, are you really who God says you are? And so we face that every day. It also goes on to say that they reviled him, which means that they criticized him in an abusive way. And today, bullying is such a huge problem, and it seems that the more we can put people down and hurt them, the better. Lastly, when Pilate released Barabbas, a robber and a murderer, instead of Jesus, who by Pilate's own admission in Luke 13 to 25 said, I have found no fault in this man. It goes on later on to say, indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. It was the ultimate unfair treatment. We face unfair treatments all the time. Perhaps you were overlooked for a promotion that you definitely were meant to get. There are so many examples there. So why am I comparing what Jesus went through to our lives today? I want to show you that he did three things that helped him endure in that time. The first thing he did was that he focused on God and his will. In Luke 22, verse 42, he says, Father, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The second thing he did is that he had us on his mind, you and I. He knew that he needed to save us. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And so he had an incentive, and that was his love for you and I. Lastly, it says in Luke 22, verse 43, that the angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I have no doubt in my mind that while he was on the cross, the Holy Spirit would have ministered to him and strengthened him as well. And so that is how Jesus endured what he went through. But I want to tell you today that the good news is, and it's such good news, that through the cross and through the fact that Jesus died for us, he made a way for us. He saved us. And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, there are promises available to us to help us endure all that we face. It doesn't mean that we won't face things, because it says that persecution will come, but it shows us that we're able to endure it. And we're able to apply the same principles that Jesus did. When we look to God and his will for our lives, it helps us to endure what we're going through. By focusing on Jesus, remember Jesus focused on us, by focusing on Jesus, the cross and the promises that it affords us, having him on our mind helps us endure what we are facing. And lastly, being ministered to and strengthened by the Holy Spirit helps us to endure. If anybody that is listening has not yet accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I would love to help you with that. And you can just either private message me or call me. And I just want to wish everybody else and all everybody listening just a wonderful week. Be blessed, and I'll speak to you again on Monday. Goodbye.